Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Folks, welcome to a new era of YWC Football Talk. And no, it doesn't mean anything else. Nothing's changed. Production values have changed. How about that? The production values have changed a little bit. It's video. And this is the first time this guest and I, if you're already watching on YouTube, you know who it is. You know it's Matt Beast and I. I'm just going to change. Oh, yep, there we go. See, now we're in close. We're close and personal now. Much better. We are here to talk football, and we're also here to talk football. But you know what? The production values are going up. This is the first time him and I ever done face-to-face. Matt, I know, unfortunately, your season's come to an end, but how are we feeling today?
We're feeling all right. 2022, it's a new year. Personally, it's kind of gone kind of weird work-wise, but besides that, it's been kind of chill so far, considering that. But lots of stuff going on in the NFL. Some things to look forward for my team, the Saints. Just exciting stuff across the board. Playoffs are about to start. It's going to be an interesting playoff schedule, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the thing about the playoffs. It's so great is that, like, I know the NBA is the NBA and everything like that, but when it comes to the not the NBA, but like with the NFL, it's one game. I feel like rankings this time, not saying they're irrelevant or not, but the fact that it's a win-or-go-home mentality, the fact that there's been so much parity this year, I think truly the next month's going to be very special for football fans. It's something we should truly appreciate and, like, hone in as our own, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It is that's the thing that makes these NFL playoffs special. It's just win-or-go-home. It's one game. It's not like an average kind of thing where it's the MLB or the NBA. It's just one game. That's all it takes, and anything can happen.
Exactly. That's the best thing. It's anything can happen. Like, we'll get into it. I have some not crazy takes, but I have some takes that might be seen as a little off. But before we get to there, like I said, new production values. I'm going to let Matt, I want you to give a recap, because obviously your Saints, their season has unfortunately come to an end. Mm-hmm. Fought till the very end. Taysom Hill has the very serious Liz Frank injury I saw that's going to be getting surgery. But look at this, folks. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to leave this banner hanging. And I'm going to let Matt give a little bit of a word for his New Orleans Saints. I'm actually going to try something else out for watching on YouTube. Oh, it's just me. No, that does not work. So, see, folks, we're still a work in progress. I was going to do single because I was going to let you take over. But that's not the case. So, Matt, floor is yours, my friend.
All right. Well, the Saints season is over, unfortunately. I remember when I came on this podcast during the predictions, I'm pretty certain that I'd said the Saints would go 9-8 and get the 7th seed. And we were a Matt Stafford interception away from that happening. It was rough. But I got the 9-8 right. But if you had told me all the stuff that had happened to the Saints during this season, and I'm sure the players, if you asked them, they wouldn't make this an excuse. But starting from the very beginning, they were displaced for the first month of the season due to Hurricane Ida. They had two different COVID breakouts, one affecting all their coaches in the second game of the season against Carolina, and the other coming in against that Monday Night Football game against the Dolphins, where they were missing 22 players, and they were literally getting guys fitted in the locker room before the game. And it's just insane the amount of adversity they've overcome. The O-line having issues, injury issues, the offense as a whole having injury issues, four different starting quarterbacks, a record set for 58 different starters during the season, which is insane. Like, it was just crazy how much stuff had happened. If you told me all this stuff was going to happen to the Saints, I would have said, we're going to win four games. And the fact that Sean Payton got this team to that point. He even missed a game due to COVID, and that was against the Bucks, and Dennis Allen went out there and destroyed them, which is crazy that Dennis Allen isn't getting head coach offers, but we know how his Raiders stint went. But all in all, the Saints, they show that they can overcome adversity, and that's what happens when you have a head coach like a Sean Payton. And I'm sure I'll be on here sometime in the future to do stuff going into the 2022 season, so I'm not really going to dwell too much on the future, but there's definitely a lot of questions that I want to see answered. But we went out the best way we could, beating the Falcons. Can't go wrong with that, but left a better taste in my mouth watching that Matthew Stafford interception. Just rough times.
Yeah, no, like I was like, obviously the Pats game Sunday, that it happened. It's something that I won't forget about. 33-24 loss. But I was watching the year game, and then I was watching the end of San Francisco in LA, and I thought, okay, San Francisco milked so much of the clock. They got the Robbie Gould field goal. That's a tongue twister on its own. But then, so then they get the field goal, and then I'm like, okay, cool. They can go downfield. Maybe they could tie it. Cause I'm not sure what would have happened if the two teams had tied, but I think, I'm not sure. It's like the luck, the tie. Obviously we saved that for the AFC West. That's the AFC West topic. But with you guys all in all, like, look, if I'm a Saints fan, I'm not disappointed considering you're right. You guys went down without a fight. You won three of your last four games. Obviously, Miami was a little out of your control. The other thing I'm going to make a point on, too, is the last time you were on here was before you guys played the Bucs. I feel like every time you play the Bucs before Tampa, you should come on here because last year you did it and the game went well, and you did it again this year. Now you guys have scored the 42-3. So, guess roll with those punches. But no, with the Saints, the only thing I feel like is just how are they going to build up for the future? Who's going to be under center? And the defense is still in good hands, no matter who, if it's Dennis Allen or not. And I guess just get the offensive line healthy and get a couple good, get Michael Thomas back and maybe get another wide receiver. And I would beef up the tight end room personally. Vinette and what's the other guy's
Troutman. Name?
Troutman, they're good, but you need like that marquee guy. I'm not saying go out there and, you know, get something like you have to go out there and like pay big money like the Patriots did for Smith or Henry. But if there's someone available for reasonable money who's, you know, out there looking for a chance to play ball, like take a shot.
Yeah. I mean, just to have it a really brief way to describe it, I look at this the way the Patriots were looking at coming into last season.
Yeah.
They had questions at quarterback. I don't think we're going to draft quarterback. We're probably going to actually bring Jameis back. I think that's the most likely scenario that's going to happen. Hopefully if he's healthy from his ACL injury and everything, but that's what I predict will happen. Whether they do something else, it could happen. So what I want to see happen is a lot of investment into the offense. And there could be a couple questions on defense, depending on who stays and goes, but there's going to be a lot of questions on offense from the guard spots, from if Teron Armstead leaves, we're going to obviously have a new left tackle. The wide receiver room needs to be rehauled. The tight end room needs to be rehauled. I mean, there's a couple nice pieces on the wide receiver room, but the tight ends, you even called them good pieces. I don't even know if I'd call them that. I'm just being honest. I mean, Troutman's season was rough. Granted, this is only his second year in. I don't know, but they need to do a complete rehauling of their offensive weapons as far as wide receiver and tight end, because I don't know how we did it with this offense, how anemic it was some weeks. And granted, getting the offensive line back healthy in this Falcons game showed that that helped a lot. But like I said, a lot of questions, just brief thing, quarterback, wide receiver, tight end. Those are the main things that I want to see happen this offseason.
Exactly. Get a quarterback in there, surround him with some weapons. And look, I view your guys' season similar to New England's of 2020, where, you know, seven and nine. I know they're not the same record, obviously, that you guys had two more wins and, frankly, one less loss. But it's just the sense of, look, it shows that good coaching can take you so far in the NFL.
Exactly.
That's the big thing, is that good coaching can take you anywhere. I think getting Michael Thomas back for 2022, hopefully we'll see what happens. You never know what could happen there. Just because it was always just like I felt like it's been an awkward situation ever since his career year in 2019. I just feel like it's been really awkward where it's like, yeah, it's good. And then it kind of goes away and then it comes back. So we'll see what happens with 2022, whether he's on the team or not. But for the most part, I think, look, Tampa's the only competition in front of you guys. Carolina clean house in many positions except for head coach. And Atlanta, well, I think they're going to be rebuilding. They're going to be – Atlanta's in for a few years of pain. I think that's the polite way to put it.
Yeah, and as far as Michael Thomas goes, I think the Saints should go into the season acting like they won't have them. I'm not saying he's going to leave, but yeah. I'm just saying if you go into it acting like he won't be there, it's going to turn out better because whatever you get from him is going to be a bonus. And this team, for the longest time, they had Drew Brees under center, and he would make any wide receiver look better than what they actually were. And maybe they valued that offensive skill position and thought that they could make anyone better than what they actually are still under the system. But that didn't work out that way. So they need to value that. And I think the Patriots had a similar thing where they were like, oh, we need to bring in more bodies, more guys. You saw them bring in Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, some wide receivers. They just need to go in there and do something similar, whether it's via the draft, via free agency, do stuff like that. But as far as the Falcons, yeah, they might be in for it. They could be looking at some of Matt Ryan's last couple of years there.
Yeah.
He might go the Matt Stafford route and want to go somewhere else to somewhere who's going to contend. I'm curious what Calvin Ridley's going to do there. He took the season off pretty much. The Panthers, they definitely have questions there. I still wonder about them letting Joe Brady go. Questionable decision in my opinion, but we'll just see how it goes for them.
Well, I can tell you this, Panthers, their offensive line is horrible. It got exposed in that same, like, not, it's going to expose, but like, you guys truly, like, when it came time to dig in. And the fact, too, that, like, I remember us, I think us, it was you, Jared, and I for the NFC preview show, and him and I kind of were saying Carolina's a dark horse team in the make the playoffs in the NFC, and you kind of scoffed at us, and now I get where you were coming from. Like, look, we all bought into them at 3-0 when, obviously, beat the Jets, beat you guys, beat the Texans, and then they
exactly.
won.
Exactly. See, those are the names they beat there. The Jets, the Texans, and a Saints team where literally most of their coaching staff had COVID. And they went 3-0, and then since then they won two games. And that's the thing about their front office. They thought that they could go in and do something with that and build upon that 3-0 start, and that turned out to be the wrong evaluation. So there's definitely some comeuppance from that. Definitely some stuff that the Panthers front office is going to have to look at going into next season.
I also look at the Panthers in a way like, look, quarterback's got to be addressed. You have to address the offensive line in the draft. You have a top 10 pick. I know this – I'm going to use a really weird term here. This year's draft, it's not sexy like last year's. Last year's draft, I know it's really weird, kind of weird to say, but some people kind of – I think people will get what I'm saying. Hopefully you do too. Where, like, you know how there's all the quarterbacks, there was a lot of marquee players – this year, though, it's just it's like 2013, but it's not going to be 2013. For if you know what I mean by that, it's going to be a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of defensive linemen, some good wide receivers in there, some good defensive backs. If I'm them in the top 10, look, there's going to be a lot of offensive linemen available there. You got to go after one of them because when your best lineman is Pat Elflein, that is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely in this draft class the preemptive look at it than I've kind of been looking at it because I'm going into offseason mode now already, which is sad because the Saints have been in the playoffs for the past 5 years in a row, which was a good run. But looking at the draft right now, yeah, of course, quarterback looks pretty slim, especially compared to last season. Yeah. Granted, looking at it, year one, a lot of this, I mean, and I know year one, you can't really judge a lot of them, but year one, a lot of those quarterbacks didn't look so good. Will they look better in year two? Probably. Most likely, most of them will. But year one of this class shouldn't be too crazy at all anyways. But like you said, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, some good wide receivers in there, which is something my team needs to go after is wide receivers and the offensive line, if Armstead leaves. But yeah, it's definitely going to be not a, like, all-star class.
I liked your tweet earlier today saying Treylon Burks. I think that's a really good fit because he's just a guy who can get the ball and go quick. And I know you know him, too, from your background as an Arkansas fan as well.
Yeah, and I think he's going to shoot up draft boards just because of the Jameson Williams injury, which is which was rough. I feel bad for the guy getting hurt so late, and that's definitely going to hurt his stock, and that's going to boost some of those lower guys up, like Treylon Burks. He was looking at like a high second round, lower first round, mid first round kind of type guy. Yeah. He's going to be mid to low high first round draft comes once the draft actually rolls around. And granted, the quarterbacks are also going to slide up, because you always see that every season. Some of the quarterbacks might be kind of lower, but as the draft gets closer and closer, these teams that actually do want a quarterback, maybe the Lions decide they want a quarterback. Who knows there? Some team is going to get desperate where they want to go and get that quarterback, and some of them are going to slide up. You're going to see it.
The only way I see a quarterback sliding up truly is a trade. Right now, when I look at it, I don't see Jacksonville obviously drafting QB. Mm-hmm. And with Detroit at two, it's just there's no one there. If they have it, say if they do number one overall next year, or if they're in the top, and look, next year you're going to have Bryce Young. Next year you're going to have DJ Ungalele. Hope I got that right. You're going to have guys like that. So you can rely on those guys for next year. I think for this year for Detroit, look, my top two, I'll say right now, I have Kayvon Thibodeau going one. I have Aiden Hutchinson going two. That's my top two right there. And then probably I'd have to say Evan Neal, the monstrous left tackle from Alabama, going three to Houston. But I completely agree with your take where I'm getting my names mixed up with Treylon Burks moving up because of the unfortunate news of Jameis Williams tearing his ACL in the national championship Monday. Something we can also talk about in a little bit. But my big thing with that, I want to make a comparison for that. And it's going to sound a little dark, obviously, because of incidents that have occurred. But remember the 2020 draft, how it went Ruggs, Judy, and then Lamb?
Mm-hmm.
I could see something like that happening where, you know, teams kind of draft Garrett Wilson and Burks before Williams, and then Williams comes back and he's the guy that really pops. Because with the ACL, I could expect him back probably by training camp, I'd say. Probably somewhere July, August period.
Yeah, maybe. That would be kind of a very quick timetable, I would think.
6-7 like, months, I think that is.
Yeah, like he would be – that would be on the quicker side of that 6-7 month timetable. I'm thinking more along the lines of maybe he's back in September, and he probably won't play till maybe October because he's going to have to get acclimated and stuff. If he was – a returning veteran, maybe he could get going right in September, but it's going to probably be October before you see him on the field. And he could beat that because you see some players recover from ACLs very quickly these days, but each player is different with how they handle injuries. I mean, you see some players get ACL injuries and just can't come back for a while. I mean, Tariq Cohen, he was a ghost. Yeah. Like, he got hurt sometime last season. And he never came back this whole season. So some guys just have a hard time coming back than others. Granted, this guy is a young wide receiver coming in, and I'm sure he's going to do everything he can to get back on the field, as soon as possible, but it's going to hurt the draft stock. I don't know where he's going to land. It should still somewhere be in the first round. I'm going to say somewhere around like the 20s, mid 20s, 25, 26, somewhere around there. So someone's probably going to get them a steal of a guy, unless someone just knows not to pass on them. But we'll see how that goes.
I'm going to give another comparison from 2020. I feel like it's going to be like a Justin Jefferson situation, you know, where he's just sitting there and the Minnesota Vikings, like when the, I don't know if you've ever seen that video or not, but the Vikings were expecting Jefferson to go to the Eagles. But then when the Eagles took Rieger, you just see Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer, which we'll get into in a minute. We're just like laughing and they're like, all right, yeah, we're going to take this guy. Like, he's right there. Like it's like you can't not take him. And that's what the Vikings did, and now the Vikings are set up for the next few years. This draft, I always say this too, it's for need. It's not want. Because, like, you know, a lot of times you draft someone just because you want them and they have, like, a good name and everything. This year, everyone who's drafting should be drafting for need. Now, that probably won't happen because we can say what we think is going to happen or what should happen for all 32 picks, but at the end of the day, we're not the GMs that are going to be calling the shots.
Not at all. You never know with some teams.
Exactly. And I know the Saints are a big OSU farm, so there is a player from Ohio State I really want to turn you on for the tight end position. That's Jeremy Rucker.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely someone there. I'm sure they're probably going to have their eyes on Chris Olave too, the wide receiver, and the other guy, Wilson. I'm sure they're going to have their eyes on both of those guys. And they probably have a scout that literally lives in the dorms at this point just because of all their guys that they're always looking at. So I'm sure they scout that whole team.
Oh, I'm sure of it too. I'm sure of it too. I do have to say though, I love Chris Olave. I really want him in New England, but I think Garrett Wilson's going to go first. And the crazy thing with Ohio State is that their best wide receiver is not even coming out of college yet. Smith and Nigba, who we saw just light it up in the Rose Bowl. So, man, Ohio State's going to be good for years. I did not make a banner for it, but did you have any quick thoughts about the Natty for Monday night, or did you enjoy the game?
For the most part, the first few quarters, it was kind of a low first half. Yeah, pretty much that right there. Kind of vibes if I had to throw it back to like the LSU Alabama game where Alabama won like 9-6. Kind of reminded me of that. Just lots of defense. I think Alabama losing their top two guys at wide receiver hurt them a lot. Definitely hurt them a good bit. It's hard to go out there and beat a defense like that. And anyways, it's hard to beat someone twice like that in college. And Georgia's defense has just been fantastic all season. So it's just hard to go out there and beat them again. So I'm sure Nick Saban's going to come back with a vengeance next season and probably win a championship again. Bryce Young's going to be trying to go out swinging, I guess.
Yeah.
Go out as high as possible. But yeah, I don't have too much thoughts on it, but congrats to Georgia for finally getting their championship.
Basically, we were all feeling Monday night the same way that I don't know if you saw these, but the camera shots of Uga and his little like crate and stuff where he was just like looking like he was falling asleep and stuff. That's how I think we all felt after, excuse me, at halftime. No, I was really happy for the fans of Georgia. Look, 41 years without a championship. It's always nice to see someone or a program who hasn't won in so long, especially a program that's as dedicated as Georgia. And also, I feel like this was a now or never season for them. And when you have that, it's just great. Meanwhile, Nick Saban, he's already California dreaming. And what I mean by that is, look, the Natty next year is in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. So I think he's already got his sights set on being in LA next year.
Yeah, and the last thing I got to say on that is at least there's one football team in Georgia that can bring a championship to them.
It's like the one that we can all agree upon that, yes, we want to see them win. Atlanta's just on a roll right now when it comes to championships. That's going to pause because obviously the Falcons and the Hawks aren't going to do anything. Next up, for those of you on YouTube who see it, Black Monday, look, there were some firings that came down the pipeline. I'm not saying favorite, but mine, one that I saw coming and I'm not shocked at it all, and I've been calling for on this podcast for about a year and a half now, Vic Fangio for the Denver Broncos. We had Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer from Minnesota, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace from Chicago, Joe Judge from the Giants, Dave Gettleman's retirement, which I think is just a polite way of firing him. I think that's just like, hey, like basically they forced him into – not forced him, but they told him like, hey, you're either going to retire or we're going to fire you. It's one of those two. It's like when they say mutual parting ways. I feel like that's just like both sides agreeing like, hey, yeah, this isn't working out. So we'll say we mutually agree that it's not working out. It's like when you end a relationship on good terms. And then the surprise of the day, which he will be on here at some point, maybe next week, to give his thoughts on this more in-depthly, Brian Flores in Miami, which is the one I think caught everyone off guard. So I think, because look, we could go on about Fangio, Zimmer, Nagy. Those three were all kind of expected. And then Joe Judge, too, it was eventually where it was like, you know what, there's not a lot to say there. I think with Minnesota, I think it's just time to change the guard. Chicago, look, obviously wasn't working. Denver, you need someone offensive in there. And New York is just a dumpster fire. But the Miami Dolphins one, though, look, they played really hard on Sunday against New England, 133-24, finished back-to-back years 10-6 and 9-8. So I think it's a mix here of maybe there were some disagreements behind the scenes, and maybe too, I think that Stephen Ross is just so in like this we have to win now mentality that for some reason going 9-8 and missing the playoffs is just not acceptable. That's the thing about this league a lot of times where guys will get fired because good enough is no longer good enough.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is a mistake personally. I'm going to like to hear Big Rat's take on it because he's going to be well more informed than I am about this. But I know from his Twitter feed that he was definitely surprised.
Yeah.
And I was definitely surprised too, because I mean, this guy is probably the only one of this list of people that got fired that's going to get a head coaching job right out. Like someone is going to hire him to be the coach of the football team. I can almost guarantee that, because this guy, he's gone out there and these players obviously want to play for him and put on their best for them week in and week out. And they overcame a lot this season. Like, they started off bad and they had that huge winning streak. I think it was 7 or 8 games in a row. So props to them on that. But I just think it's a mistake to fire Brian Flores. He's a really good coach. But he's definitely going to get a job for sure. I see him out there. And the rest of these guys, it's to be expected. Like, when Joe Judge was not getting fired at first, I was like, why is Joe Judge keeping his job, but Flores is getting fired? This makes no sense. And then they finally decided to fire him, because I'm sure they heard a lot of media backlash. And these owners, they hear what happens. And they see all this backlash. And sometimes they might even give in to it. Or it might sway the decision in a certain way. And I think they definitely had to let go of Joe Judge. But the Brian Flores thing, I don't know what to think of that. You would think that they would have a plan in place that they were going to get rid of a guy who had done so well. And I don't know. It's just letting me flabbergasted, because some people thought that maybe they had Harbaugh lined up to sign with them. But that's not the case, because they're just – interviewing the same guys that are in this carousel of other guys that are also being interviewed. It's not like they're hiring some superstar head coach. Just a move that should not have happened, in my opinion.
And with Miami, it sets them back so much, because it's like one of those things where you think, hey, we can get better now. But in reality, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think there was all the Dolphins fans out there who wanted Watson. I know Big Rat's a big Tua guy. I know that's for a fact. He's a big Tua guy. So I think this keeps Tua's job, because I think Flores was really on the pro Watson train. Brian Flores is going to get a head coaching job. Would I love him back as a defensive coordinator with the Patriots? Absolutely. Is that going to happen? Probably not. Mm-hmm. There's also not literally Miami can't go out there and get a big name splash, because guess what? The big name splash is the guy that you just fired about 48 hours ago. Like, this was literally, like I told said before. And also too, I would have mentioned Jacksonville, but we all know about that. And then Vegas too, but in all honesty, I think Rich Bisaccia is getting that job. I think him winning in the playoffs on Sunday, him winning and getting the Raiders into the playoffs was just enough to keep his job in Vegas. But even Jacksonville too, like, they're going after guys like Bill O'Brien and stuff like that, which I know he had success in Houston with the playoffs. It's just the way he left, it makes me think like that could easily just happen again, So. We'll wait and see what happens. But like I said before, a lot of the firings were these warranted, we saw them coming firings. But then I said this in the tweet though, there's always a firing every year that catches you off guard, but it's not because of like, oh, what the Brian Flores situation is. No, it's more to do with, maybe this guy's seat wasn't as hot as we first, like maybe his seat was hotter than we originally thought.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. Who knows what's going on there? I would like to hear more clarification. So that's definitely going to be something to hear from Big Rat, because he's definitely going to be the guy that knows.
Hopefully trying to get been talking to him. I do have stuff planned for next week. Those announcements will probably come out later in the podcast, but I do have something planned. So we'll wait and see. We'll go from there on what happens for that. Anyway, there's still football left to be played. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Look, I know we covered all the somber stuff before. But there's football to be played. There are 7 games, 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then 1 on Monday night. First one up, Cincinnati versus Las Vegas. If you give me a second, I got to look at my phone. Cincinnati is a 5.5-point favorite, and the over-under for this game is at 49 points. Matt, where do you lean on this game?
This is an interesting game. Two franchises that have had their playoff troubles as of late, even getting to the playoffs. I love the Bengals as a team. If I had to root for any team, it would be them. I would like to see them go far. I don't know if you watch Trap House Sports on TikTok, but he always calls Joe Burrow Joe Brr. I want to see him go off. I want to see him go off. He's been fantastic over the past couple weeks. But the main issue here with the Bengals I see is their offensive line. And This was an issue going into the last draft where people are just like, oh, you got to draft Penny Sewell. But they drafted Jamar Chase, which obviously it's not been a wrong move, because Chase, he's been a stud, rookie of the year to me. You might have a different take on that, but
I don't actually. I'm gonna be upfront. I don't. Can I just add one quick thing in though?
Yeah, go
Both
ahead.
Both him and Sewell have graded really well according to PFF analytics. So it's not like Sewell, you know, is this dominant tackle in the NFL and then Jamar Chase is having an okay year. No, Jamar Chase is the rookie of the year. It took me a while, but once Max started having a few bad weeks after the bye and Chase was exploding at games like against the Ravens and helping people like myself win their fantasy football championships.
That helps.
It helps. Now, I'm not saying just because of me helping him win fantasy football, but the fact that he's going out there and having monster games on back-to-back weeks, because a lot of the guys, look, we pay attention to those for various reasons because of fantasy football. It's like it's like the gift from the league. Fantasy football is my religion.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, this Bengals team, they could be a problem. Like, I'm sure they're going to address that offensive line.
Yeah.
I think Joe Burrow is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL, so – that's the thing about this matchup. He's going to have to worry about Max Crosby, who is very high up in the league, if not first in the NFL, in pressures against the quarterback. Of course, they have Ngakoue. They have a good D-line there, and that's going to be the main thing. I know the Bengals, when they last played the Raiders, they leaned heavily on Joe Mixon. They're probably going to have to do the same because the weather's probably going to be inclement, pretty cold, and that's probably going to give the Raiders some problems, I'd say. But if I had to go for a prediction on this, I would just say the Bengals are going to win. What'd you say the over-under or the spread is?
The over-under. So the temperature. So the over-under is 49. Spread is 5.5 points for the Bengals. The temperature at kickoff is going to be about 20 Fahrenheit on Saturday.
Oh, man. I would actually probably go with the Bengals to cover on that. And beat the Raiders by a little bit more than that. I know my friend Miguel's probably not going to like that, but at the end of the day, I think this Bengals team is really good. And look, I give my props to the Raiders. I was talking about how the Saints overcame a lot. The Raiders overcame a lot as well. Their season has been insane with what all has been going on for them. And for them to go 10-7 and make it this far into the playoffs is no slouch. And I'm not going to say they're going to go out and get destroyed by the Bengals. I'm just saying the Bengals probably going to win by like a touchdown or something, because this Bengals offense, Joe Burrow is legit. He's been so good this season. That three-headed monster at wide receiver. Joe Mixon's been a great running back this season. Like, that offense is just great. And if they can ever get that offensive line situated out, it's going to be gravy for them. But if the Raiders are going to win, it's going to be because they're getting pressure on Joe Burrow with Max Crosby and Ngakoue and taking advantage of that weak spot of that Bengals. So if they can keep it close and keep the Bengals passing a lot, then they have a shot. But I'm going to go with the Bengals here.
My big thing is right now, I don't know how much of the Sunday night game you watched, but Storm Norton, the right tackle for the Chargers, was a turnstile. Max Crosby just fed him his lunch all day long. So if Max Crosby can have that kind of game and get to Joe Burrow, it's going to be a long day. Because I'm different, I'm going to go Vegas to get the win here. I'm going to go Vegas. I just – something's telling me Vegas, that over-under of 49, I'm going to go under. And I also – I know I like to do this. I'm going to put a score on here. I like the Raiders to win a close one of 27-21, you know, where there's a couple of things when the Raiders get those, like, couple extra plays just to, like, go ahead. I like that too, and I like Derek Carr to get their first win. This Raider team, right? Not Raider. This Bengal team reminds me of a team we're going to get into next, which 2 years ago, if you remember, in the first wildcard game, the Bills lost a close one to the Texans in overtime. Yes. And that was their Josh Allen's first time in the playoffs. And everyone said they'll be back. So I feel like, look, if the Bengals lose this game, this doesn't destroy their season. It doesn't destroy their credibility. It's just kind of showing, hey, look, they're a young team and the Raiders are just riding a wave of momentum, considering, like you said, they had the John Gruden dismissal, which they're the first team since 1961 to make it to the playoffs with coaching change midseason.
Wow.
And then the unfortunate, tragic incident involving Henry Ruggs back in November. So the fact, too, if you had told Raider fans at the beginning of the year, you're going to lose John Gruden, you're going to lose Henry Ruggs, but you're still going to make the playoffs on the final game of the year, I don't think any Raider fan would have believed you.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to that final game of the year thing, that's another thing that's going to be against the Raiders, in my opinion, is sometimes after these huge emotional wins, you see these teams have trouble going out and performing the next week. And granted, this is the playoffs. It's different. It could be different. But the Raiders played on Sunday night, overtime. They got to travel to Cincinnati and play on a Saturday. So it's a short week. What's that?
You make a good point.
Yeah, it's a short week. They're traveling. They're going to be in inclement weather, different from what they're used to.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff stacked in their favor, in my opinion. And that's why it's hard for me to go with the Raiders. But like I said, I just got to give them props on their season. But I just got to ride with the Bengals just because that's the team I'm going to be rooting for kind of this season.
I got you. Like, if either team wins this game, it's not going to make a difference. Look, I know you guys don't know by now. I post daily betting content for every sport. For Saturday's game, though, I'm still trying to figure out, like, I could even see a world, though, where the Bengals win but the Raiders cover. I can't see this game being a blowout. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I definitely don't see it being, like, a huge blowout, but it's going to be pretty close.
Exactly. And Saturday night, 8:15, let's do it. Let's get to it. You see it right there, folks, on the timeline. Buffalo versus New England. The Bills are the favorite this time. Last time, I believe it was the Patriots. The Bills are favored by 4 points, an over-under of 43.5. Kickoff temperatures are expected to be below freezing in Orchard Park. This game, the more I think about it, can have a bigger impact. I'm gonna give you your thoughts first. I'm gonna say this. I think this game can have a bigger impact on the fans just because of the fact that whoever loses this game goes into their offseason saying that our biggest rival is the one that knocked us out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, these divisional playoff games are crazy, and we have two of them this go around, which is interesting. But I mean, to have these rubber matches in the playoffs is always something insane, and it's going to be something interesting to see. And I mean, the Bills and Patriots both beat each other in the offs and during the regular season, each at their own respective stadiums. But yeah, I mean, this game, it's probably the hardest for me to predict, honestly, because you don't want to
hurt my feelings, just admit it.
I mean, there's that to it, but it legitimately is a really hard game to predict just because you want to say the normal narrative of rookie quarterbacks have trouble in the playoffs in the wild card round. Like, I think statistically they're 2-6 in the past couple years. Two of those wins coming against other rookie quarterbacks. So you have that going against Mac Jones, but this isn't a normal coach team. This is a Bill Belichick coach team. So I don't really know if you can really go into that, but with this Bills team, the main way the Patriots have done work on them as of late is Damian Harris in the running game. Are the Bills just going to go out there and let them do that again?
And,
yes. Because, I mean, both these defenses have been playing really good this season. But if the Bills want to win, they have to stop the run game and make Mac Jones beat them. They have to, that's going to be their way to victory, is make Mac Jones beat them and then hope Josh Allen just does Josh Allen things. As far as a prediction, honestly, like, looking at all these games, I like to take at least one road team, and I don't really see any other road teams that I like, honestly, and this is the game that I'm kind of back and forth on, but I'm going to take the Patriots to win by a field goal.
You know what? This screams a close game. This, I just can't see it being a blowout. I just can't. I don't know what it is. Like I said to myself, like, look, it could be a win. It could be a loss. We could get blown out. We could blow them out. It could be a close game. It could be a short game. I just don't see it being that kind of game, you know? I just don't see it being that game where it's just a blowout. I can see this. It's going to be a close game. I think, too, I say this a lot on this podcast, and I believe it for this game. This game's going to be about two, whichever quarterback can make less mistakes. And also, one other thing I want to point out, too, this year, I know we have two divisional matchups in the playoffs, but out of the six matchups taking place this weekend, five are rematches from the regular season.
Interesting.
Only Dallas, San Francisco is not. We'll get into it in a few minutes. For this game, though, I think the same thing. I think, look, even if they have to make Mac throw the ball, they just have to make him not like change the play up and just have him chuck the ball out like he was doing against Miami and then like he was doing against Buffalo 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks, about 2.5 weeks ago. I think, look, if we can see the Mac, look, do the run pass option game, do short passes. It's like, you know, they say the expression, a death by 1,000 cuts.
Yeah.
I think that kind of game is what we could potentially see from the Patriots on Saturday night. That's personally what I believe. I'm obviously going for us to win. If we were to lose, will I be disappointed? Yes. But will it be a disappointing season? No, I'm not going to come on here and say, oh, this season was disappointing. It was terrible. No, there was no expectations for us this year. I thought like, look, our ceiling was 11-6. I said that back in May when the schedule came out, that our ceiling was 11-6. We finished 10-7. So the fact that we finished 10-7, I think if anything, if Buffalo loses on Saturday night, it's a massive disappointment for them. And why you're wondering why I've made a prediction, folks, it's a little freaking obvious who I'm going for. I want the Patriots to win. I'm going to cheer for the Patriots. And I'm going to pay the bills quickly because obviously this podcast is sponsored by sidelineshop.ca. I'll be wearing my Matthew Judon jersey that I got. Actually, I'm going to say this. That my fiance bought me as a Christmas gift off of sidelineshop.ca. So you already know. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But I think this could be the game where we truly see what Mac Jones is capable of. I'm not afraid to admit that. I know we're saying you may have to make Mac throw it. I think scuba suit Mac, and I'm saying that because of what happened last time in Buffalo. I think this is a game, too, where everyone's going to be thinking the Bills are going to win. I think it's more like, for some reason, I think they think the cold weather is going to be a factor for Buffalo. Both these teams play in cold weather environments. It's not like Boston's like a paradise in the wintertime.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think the weather's going to be as bad because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the winds were like terrible.
It was like 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, I think the winds were like terrible in the last game. So I'm pretty sure it's not going to be near as bad. So you're going to have more options in the passing game because when you have 50-mile-an-hour winds, it's just hard to get anything going passing the football. But I think stylistically wise, it'll go a little different, but for the most part, it's going to be these two defenses battling it out and it's just going to be a knockdown drag out, man. I'm excited to watch it. And like I said, like normally whenever I've come on here since last season, I've been kind of on the Bills train. I like Josh Allen a whole lot. He's my dynasty quarterback. So I'm a little biased. He actually won me my championship. So shout out to Josh Allen. But I've been for the Bills, and I didn't know if the Patriots were going to do this good this season. And since they've been doing so good this season, I've always said, man, if the Saints have a season kind of like the Patriots this season, I'll be so happy next season. So I just got to go with Bill Belichick, honestly. That's just how it comes down to the end for me.
That's a big thing, too. It's Bill Belichick in the playoffs. It's a different animal. It's his first wild card game on the road ever, believe it or not, or I think at least with the Patriots. But
that's wild.
Yeah. It's his first ever road playoff game with the Patriots. But when it comes down to it, everyone's like, oh, but Josh Allen's better than Mac. Yes, that is true. I'll even admit that.
Yeah.
But if this comes down to coaching and in-game adjustments, you can't pick against Belichick. And like they say, too, I know Bama lost on Monday night. But Bama was a dog in the SEC championship game. Patriots is an underdog in a game like this when their backs are against the wall. I'm just going to say this right now. That's something you don't want. That's a position you do not want to put yourself into. I think there's a lot of Bills fans out there thinking that. Because, look, we already know Patriots fans, if we lose, it is what it is. It is what it is. Look, the season was good. The season was a success. Just learn from it and move on to next year. If Buffalo loses, it's going to be demoralizing just for the sole fact of who you lost to. And the fact that Josh Allen's contract's kicking in soon. Plus, you wanted a Super Bowl this year. You were 13-3 this year. You were 11-6 this year, including a loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where you didn't even score a touchdown. So I'm just going to say this right now. If Bills lose on Saturday night, Bills Mafia ain't going to be happy on Sunday morning.
Oh, no, not at all.
It'll be sour. I'll admit this. If the Patriots lose on Saturday night, will it be sour? Yes. But at the same time, too, I'm going to continue to live my everyday life and know that, look, things get better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we're on to Sunday now. I have to open up my app again just to get the scores up. Right there, folks. Tampa Bay versus Philadelphia. Another rematch from earlier this year. The Bucs are an 8.5-point favorite, over under at 46. call me crazy, but I'm just going to say this right now. We'll talk about the game. I like the Bucs to win, but I like the Eagles to cover 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, just take a look at the Bucs last season in their wild card game against the Redskins. Like, they're going up against Tyler Heinicke, who at that point, who knew who he was? We did not know. And he went in there, and granted, there is maybe a little bit of an advantage to that because you don't really have tape on him and you can't prepare for him. But at the same time, with a defense like they have, you wouldn't expect something like that. But, I mean, the Bucs are coming in. They've been kind of on the downswing, honestly. Like, last season, granted, they did handily take care of the Panthers, but it's the Panthers.
Yeah.
Come on now. Coming into the playoffs last season, the Bucs were on a tear. And I feel like right now they're kind of on a downslope. They had an off game against the Jets that they did end up winning. The week before that, the Saints pantsed them in an amazing game. Loved every second of that one. And then they had the Panthers game, which was fine for them. But
yeah,
this Eagles game, it just seems like Tom Brady against the NFC East, there's something there. I mean, the Giants always have his number, the Redskins game in the playoffs last season. And I think this Eagles game is going to get them in trouble. The main thing for the Buccaneers in their favor, though, is that they're really good at stopping the run, although they have had troubles a little bit as the season's wore on. But because this is the run team in the NFL, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, whoever it is back there, that's their MO. They run the ball. And if there's a team that's going to stop them from doing that, the Buccaneers are definitely one of those teams. But granted, speaking from experience, the Saints, they have a historical really good run defense over the past couple of years. And the Eagles are always that team that's two times now solved that problem. So we could see a very close game here. I kind of agree with you. I think the Eagles are going to cover. The Bucs are going to win at the end of the day. It's probably going to come down to Tom Brady having a drive at the end of the game and scoring a touchdown to win or something, getting them in position for a field goal, something like that. I can already envision it. And then I'm going to roll over in my grave. I think the Eagles are going to give them a fight. But I don't think the Eagles are at any point going to be leading in the game. They might be threatening the lead. Maybe they're trying to drive at the very end. And then maybe Jalen Hurts throws the interception or something. I got the Bucs, but I think it's going to be closer than people think.
My thing with this game, I can see the Eagles like getting out to like a 7-0 or a 10-0 lead, and then the Bucs come back, and then from there it's kind of like a chess match. I can see this being a 6-7 point game for the Buccaneers. In all honesty, I think 8.5 is a big number. It's a big number to cover, especially against a team like Philadelphia that's really unpredictable this year. You don't know exactly what they're going to throw at you. And also the other thing too is remember this Eagles team hung in tough with the Buccaneers back in October. It was only, I think, 28-22. The Eagles almost had a chance to come and win the game. That's the other thing too I want to look at, where I know we say, look, the regular season is different than the playoffs, obviously. But you have to factor in when, especially it's a rematch. And like we said, there's the one divisional match we already covered. And then there's the other one that's on the Monday night game. When it comes down to all those things, you have to factor in a multitude of things. So you have to factor in, look, how these teams played this year. How have they evolved? How have they gotten different? How are they the same? And with Philadelphia, you don't know exactly what their bag of tricks are going to entail. I just think that at the end of the day, yes, Tampa's the much better team. They're really good at stopping the run. Like you said, though, Philly's got some good runners. And quick fantasy note for 2022. If you're ever in a pinch for a running back and the Eagles are playing the Giants, go get Boston Scott off waivers. He will be there. Trust me, it's helped. My big thing too is, though, is how can that Eagles, because that's the thing too, the Eagles still have a really good offensive line, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson. How can those guys defend the likes of, like, Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be back for this game, Levante David, newly extended, blanking out the guy's name, I don't know why.
Barrett?
No, small guy.
Vita Vea.
Vita Vea, yes, I don't know why I blanked on his name. Vita Vea, who just got a 4-year extension. I want to see that matchup because the Bucs O-line and the Eagles D is like their thing. And my big thing with the Bucs too is is how can they get Rob Gronkowski involved? The same Rob Gronkowski who does those insurance fraud commercials for USAA trying to be a military veteran, which I feel like they just said, hey, Rob, just act like an idiot and we'll give you $5 million for this commercial. That's another topic for another day. My big thing with this game is, though, at the end of the day, look, can the Bucs get Rob Gronkowski going? Can they get their own running game going? And what are these Eagle defenders going to do to Tom Brady? That's my big question. I think at the end of the day, though, like I said, the Bucs are going to win. Fire the cannons. Sorry. But I just can't see Phil. I just can't see Philly winning this game. That's the only thing I can see them covering. Just can't see them winning. That's all.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the Bucs are going to have more problems in the playoffs as it goes. I mean, Mike Evans is definitely not 100%.
No.
Godwin's been out since the Saints game. He's out for the year. Of course, we all know what happened with Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
So pretty much the only just 100% consistent guy that's always been one of the guys for Tom through his career in New England too is Gronk. I mean, Gronk's the main guy there, and can Gronk stay healthy through these playoffs? Because I mean, they're in the wild card and they got to play it through the whole way. So I mean, they did it last year. They're going to have less help this year. So I think it's always hard to repeat in the NFL. But I think they're going to get past the wild card. They might have troubles next week.
Exactly. That's the thing. They could. I honestly think that too. They could have trouble no matter who they face next week. Mm-hmm. One other thing I wanted to point out that I just remembered now is Saturday's game between Cincinnati and Vegas. Drew Brees will be doing color for that game in Cincinnati with Mike Tirico. So that's just something I wanted to point out. And then obviously it's going to be Ian Eagles and Charles Davis doing the Bills and Patriots. And then this game is going to be on Fox. We all know it's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman's show. Moving on next, Dallas versus San Francisco. 4:30 CBS game. This is the Nickelodeon game, believe it or not, too. I kind of wanted the Patriots to be on Nickelodeon just to see Bill Belichick get slimed. That's just me, though. But for those of you out there who are young, and I know I'm young, too. I'm in my 20s. Matt, you're in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're both in our 20s. I want you guys to go back and watch some highlights from the 80s and the 90s of the Cowboys and the 49ers because there are some amazing NFL playoff. Not COVID, just something caught in my throat. There are some amazing playoff games between those two teams that I feel like some people should just go watch. It's just hard-hitting football, and it's great. I have a crazy prediction, and I have a crazy hot take. I have San Francisco winning this game. The over-under, I got to look up the over-under and the spread because I'm a good guy like that. Oh, and also, I already mentioned another game. So it's 51 points here. Dallas is 3.5-point favorites. I just like San Francisco. I think San Francisco, if they can play really good football, I would not be surprised if they upset some teams and manage to be in LA next month. I'm coming out here and saying that. I know it's a bit of a hot take, but this team healthy is very scary and very unpredictable. You got 2019 Deebo Samuel. You got George Kittle healthy. Brandon Ayuk's looking really good. They got their running game going. They got a hell of a defense. And Jimmy G's playing really well. My only concern for Jimmy G is I think he's their worst enemy. I think he has to play solid football. If he can go out there and play solid football, this team's going to go far. But if he screws up, he screws up. Also, if you're asking yourself, why am I picking against Dallas? Well, for one, it'll be fun to see the Cowboys lose. And two, when it comes down to this, I just think San Francisco is going to be a team that kind of catches people by surprise. You know, I think a lot of people think this is Dallas's year. So that's why give me the Niners. Give me the Niners. Or at least if they don't win, they're going to cover 3.5 points.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting game. The Cowboys defense, they've been good this season. They've definitely improved. I got to give them their roses on that. The 49ers, they're half of the reason why the Saints aren't in the playoffs now. but yeah, I mean, Deebo Samuel, he's had an amazing year. I wonder what the matchup is going to be like with Trayvon Diggs, because Trayvon Diggs has some tendencies to give up some big plays, even though he's leading the league. Yeah, even though he leads the league in interceptions. So you're going to hope that he doesn't really give up too much to Deebo Samuel. Will he even be matched up on Deebo Samuel, because Deebo Samuel is always being moved around so much in the Shanahan offense? And pretty much like you said, Jimmy G is going to be the biggest thing. That's the big thing that comes down to the question for me, because both of these offenses are dynamic. Both of these defenses can make plays. And at the end of the day, sure, Shanahan's probably the better coach than McCarthy, but sometimes in these matchups, you got to go with the better quarterback, and I got to go with Dak here. I got to go with Dak. I think Dak's going to get it done. If the Cowboys lose, the fan base will have a meltdown.
Oh, God.
I know a lot of people would enjoy that, but I got to go with the Cowboys here. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't know what the over-under is at, but I'd probably set it at the over.
51.
51. That's a high score, but I think they might go over that, honestly. Because granted, the defenses can't make plays, get turnovers. Cowboys defense is really good at making turnovers. But I think that's what it's going to come down to. These offenses going stride for stride, and at some point, Jimmy G's going to make a mistake and throw an interception to one of these playmakers in the defense, or someone's going to get a fumble. It's going to happen. The Cowboys are going to get a turnover, and that's going to be a huge thing in the game. And another thing to watch out are they going to do voting again for the MVP and have,
we have to give our picks. We have to do, let's do that. Let's do one person aside. Who is going to take Mitch Trubisky's trophy away from him? We have to have an MVP for this game. That's never mind Dallas losing or San Francisco losing. The MVP is the biggest storyline to occur in this football game.
Like, personally, I didn't watch the Nick broadcast, because the Nick broadcast last year was the Saints and the Bears, and I couldn't watch something fun like that. It was playoffs. It was Drew Brees in the playoffs, probably for the last time, which it was. Except he played the next week, but
last playoff win.
Last playoff win. And I'm sure whenever Mitch Trubisky heard that he was the MVP and they maybe tried to give him a trophy, I don't know if he got a trophy for it or not, I'm sure he hated every second of that, honestly, after that game. But as far as who would get it this game, I'm going to just guess Debo Samuel probably. He's probably going to make some plays in here, and it's going to attract people to vote for him. But there could be another, I don't know, they might not even do fan voting after what happened last time. But if they do fan voting, someone could sway it into some random person's favor, like, shoot, I don't know,
Mitch Wisnowski.
maybe the fullback on the 49ers, even Kyle, I forget Juszczyk. His last name, Juszczyk. I just shouldn't want to botch it, but yeah, it could be someone like him, something random like that. But yeah, to be serious though, the Cowboys, I think they got this.
Yeah, I'm gonna go my fun route. If the Cowboys win, I'm gonna say CeeDee Lamb, for MVP. And if the 49ers, I'm gonna go Kittle. I also think Kittle, someone who would enjoy getting slimed. I gotta figure out a way in Canada how to watch it. I have Paramount Plus, and I know they do like the Inside the NFL, and Paramount Plus, I think, is under the Nickelodeon umbrella. So I got to do some research to see if I can do that, because if that's the case, I'm watching the Nick broadcast on Sunday. I'm not watching the regular one, because I know it's Nance and Romo calling the CBS broadcast, and then the Nickelodeon one is going to be, I think it's Noah. Yeah, it's Noah Eagle, who's Ian Eagle's son, and then Nate Burleson calling it. I think it's those two calling the game. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with those two, but It's going to be, I think this game right here, though, could be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have to tend to agree with you in terms of offense.
Yeah.
If you want to see a big high-scoring game, this is probably going to be that game.
It's going to be football.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the exciting game, and that's going to be have all the offensive sparks for you, because some of these previous games, they're going to come down to defenses, and they're going to be closer games. Granted, I'm not saying this game's going to be not close. I think it's going to be a close game, but you're just going to see more points, and that's definitely going to be something to watch for.
Yeah, exactly. If I have to go, I'm going over for points here. No matter who wins, I'm going. When you guys watch my betting videos, I'm going to post the over. Next up, Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Kansas City 12.5-point favorite. 45.5 points is the over/under. I'm going to let you go first on this, because I went first last time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that this is going to be a blowout, but I think when everyone thinks a game is going to be an absolute ass-whipping, that's never what happens. Like, remember last year with I'm going to give a perfect example. The last two Bucks-Saints games in Tampa, remember last year? Everyone picked the Bucks to win, and then Saints Twitter had their day with the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to the score bug. And then this year, too, they called everyone NBC clowns, and then they put a crown on Drew Brees' head. Saints Twitter's been on a roll there. But I'm going to let you have the floor. I just wanted to point that out right now. I'm just saying, like, what's the phrase I was looking for? Be careful what you wish for, Chiefs fans.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people are probably – I know a lot of people are kind of upset that the Steelers got in.
Yeah.
You'd probably rather see a matchup like the Chargers and the Chiefs, or even the Raiders and the Chiefs, or whatever it would have been had this not happened. But look, it did. Big Ben's getting his last ride. I saw a press conference, I'm sure, where he was just – I'm sure he's just joking on it, where he's just like, yeah, we're just gonna go in and have fun. We're probably going to lose by 20 points or something like that. I think he was just having fun with it because he obviously doesn't think that. I mean, if he does, that's a crazy thing to say. But I mean, the game that happened against them earlier this season, it wasn't close. This game probably won't be close either. I know a lot of people are going to say that, and I could bite my words on it. But the Chiefs, I think they're going to go for it this postseason, man. I think they're going to try to get to their third straight Super Bowl appearance, and it could happen. As far as just – this game in general, I just think the fact that Big Ben, he's just, you've seen him play quarterback this season. That's all I got to say. It's just a lot of dink and dunk and just try to get someone out in space. And I mean, granted, I've seen a version of that offense with the later Drew Brees in his career, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, I think the Chiefs are just going to be too much to handle for them. It doesn't matter who it is. And I know Tyreek Hill didn't have a great game when they played last season, but he just went to other options, Mecole Hardman, Brian Pringle. I just don't see this being a close game. And it honestly might go the Chiefs might honestly cover that huge point spread. And that's a big one. That's a big one for a playoff game.
I'm just saying be careful what you wish for, because I feel like every Chief thinks that they're going to go in there and then clown them by 30 or 40 again. I think this game could, like, scare them in the sense of, you know, it's a closer game than people think, but then the Chiefs find a way to pull away in the fourth quarter. That's my thinking on this. I have the Chiefs winning this game, but there's a weird part of me that – do you remember 2013 when the Ravens basically ran the table when Ray Lewis announced he was retiring and they won the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I have a weird feeling that if the Steelers were to give them a tough time – hell, if the Steelers win this game, I think, like, NFL Twitter and, like, ESPN will have a meltdown.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it would be all over everything that Monday morning. It would be just the big thing. Like, because Patrick Mahomes, he's the guy in the NFL right now. He's their marquee guy. You see him everywhere. He's on the cover of Madden, a second time with Tom. He's just the guy. So if he goes out to this underwhelming Steelers team with their quarterback going out on his last hurrah, that would be huge. It'd be everywhere. Of course, the Cowboys game would also be kind of close head in head with that, because anything Cowboys is going to be that way. But that would definitely be the number one headline of Patrick Mahomes led team losing to the Steelers. But I don't see it happening, but if it did, that'd be wild.
Oh, it would 100% be wild. I'm not going to go ahead and predict it. I'm just thinking that, do you remember the Sunday nighter last year when Pittsburgh went in and blanked, not Pittsburgh, Cleveland went into Pittsburgh and they just blanked them and, like, no one saw it coming?
Yeah.
It's the same game, but I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, if you're a Chiefs fan out there and you're listening to this, don't go into this game thinking you're going to whoop them. Don't go in thinking you're going to whomp them. Trust me, I've done that many times before, and it's bitten me in the ass.
Yeah,
cautious optimism is your friend. And Matt, can I ask you for a quick favor?
What's that?
I have to run and grab my MacBook charger. So if you could vamp for like a minute or two, that would be great. I'm just going to turn my camera off for the folks that are on YouTube.
Okay. All right. Well, just to kind of wrap up thoughts on this Chiefs and Steelers matchup. I think if the Steelers do want to win, they're going to have to pressure Patrick Mahomes. And that's not as easy this season because that offensive line has been improved versus what it was last season because the Chiefs definitely addressed that need. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to spread the ball around to Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all of his offensive linemen or all of his offensive weapons out there. Pardon me, but I think at the end of the day, it's just going to be too much for Big Ben to kind of keep pace with Patrick Mahomes. And am I going to say they're just going to go out there and destroy him by 20, 30 points? Probably not. I'd probably say 14, 17 points somewhere around there, but that's how I see it going.
I didn't catch a lot of what you said, but at the end of the day, too, we're both going with the Chiefs. Go with logic. Last game of the day, and folks, before we announce this game, it's going on the ticker right now. Got something to announce. There will be a podcast that will be recorded during this game. It may be live on YouTube. Matt, if you're free, I might ask you back because I'm trying to do my own little YWC football talk cast, like a Manning cast.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm trying to get people to kind of like come in, go, and then do their come in. We'll figure it out. I'm asking around some people just to figure out where to go. But out of all the games on this weekend, this one is intriguing to me. This one just screams. It's Arizona and LA. 49.5 is the over-under, and the Rams are a 4-point favorite. My big thing with this game right here is I want to, like, the Rams are in this all-in mentality, but I think there's a lot of the NFL world that is expecting them to crash and burn. And I'll say this too, out of all the teams that could lose this weekend, the one that I think would be the most devastating would be the Rams, by far.
Yeah, and I mean, you see this all the time. You have these teams that are called these super teams, and sometimes they just blow up and do just absolutely terrible. And the Rams have definitely put in a lot of assets to get this team where they are. And Matt Stafford's looked kind of shaky. Just because it might be a little conceited, but I really want to see the Rams lose because they're probably my second most hated team in the NFL after the Falcons. Honestly,
for obvious reasons.
If you told me that Tom Brady's going to win another Super Bowl with the Bucks, I'd probably take that over the Rams winning the Super Bowl at this point, just because I hate them so much. I mean, from the obvious game in the playoffs to now them throwing a game that they were up 17-3 going into half and costing the Saints a playoff berth. Maybe it's a little bit of a biased anger, but I got to go with the Cardinals here. I got to go with Kyler Murray, my guy, to go out and beat the Rams. And like you were saying, this Rams team is a team that's just put so many assets. Like they get a draft pick and they say, we don't need it. Throw it away. We're going to go pick up Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. We're going to go pick up all these guys. They even re-signed Eric Weddle today just to bring him back for the playoff ride because they're just like, we're going to bring him along on the ride. We want to get him a ring. But you know what? It's not going to happen.
Exactly. My big thing with this game, though, is DeAndre Hopkins playing.
Yeah, that's a huge thing.
As the biggest question for this game, do I think Arizona can get done without it? Yes, it's just with Arizona. I think Kyler Murray has to play a perfect game. If Kyler Murray turns the ball over or if Aaron Donald has his day, it's going to be a long day for the Cardinals. But the Cardinals, though, are in that Patriot class where I feel like if they lose, it is what it is. Like, I think there's whoever loses the Cincinnati-Vegas game, New England, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Arizona. If those teams lose this weekend, if you're a fan of those teams, don't be disappointed. That's all I'm going to say. You didn't expect to get here. I was on this hard from the beginning of the year that Cliff Kingsbury was going to get fired if they didn't do anything. Sure, do they fall apart towards the end of the season and cost themselves the division? Yes. But at the end of the day, look, you're in the dance. That's all that matters. It's one of those things where it's like, look, you get the ticket. You get the ticket. What you do with it is up to you. That is a message to all 12 teams that are in the playoffs this weekend. Obviously, there's two others, Tennessee and Green Bay, but they're chilling at home. They don't got anything to worry about. That's a position I've got to experience, and I know you've gotten to experience before. It's great to have the bye. And also, I think, too, that the NFL playoffs right now is going to be at 16 at some point, and then the two-team byes will get brought back. I do believe that as well.
Yeah, I mean, that would be good. But I think if they did that, you'd definitely see some disparity there in the lower seeds and what they bring in. But as far as this game with the Cardinals and the Rams, DeAndre Hopkins is not playing. I looked that up. Seems like he's not going to be available. They could get J.J. Watt back, which is going to be huge because they're going to need that defense. Because this Rams defense, they got some stars on there, but plays can be made against them. The 49ers have proved that. And this Cardinals offense, no matter who's out there, they can put up points and they can put up some yards. And sometimes it's hard for me to go in there and, like, if I didn't have a personal vendetta against the Rams, I'd probably logically have to pick the Rams just because I just don't – part of me doesn't really see this Rams team blowing it. But history could repeat itself with some of these super teams just blowing it all away. And, I mean, Matt Stafford's been prone to throwing some interceptions. I think he leads the league in interceptions this season. And we just saw one cost him the game against the 49ers this past week that cost my Saints a playoff berth. So part of me is hoping a Matt Stafford interception on a game-winning drive that they need happens. If it happens, I'll be jubilant. I'll be exhilarated. Any other adjectives for excited out there? You could just pull up a dictionary or encyclopedia, whatever. But it's going to be hard for the Cardinals to do without a DeAndre Hopkins, and especially since they've been a team that's had troubles later in the offseason. But I think the fact that they don't really have a very long commute from Arizona to Los Angeles, the fact that they're going to be playing not in super crazy weather is definitely going to be a plus for them. Like, if they had to go off and play, like, in Green Bay or something in the snow, it would be awful for them. Like, it would be terrible. Granted, they are a much better road team, so they do have that going against them. Like, maybe if they were playing in Arizona against the Rams, it could be worse. So there could be something there with the Cardinals being a really good road team and beating the Rams. So I'm going to stake it on that and stake it on my hatred for the Rams and stake it on the fact that I've only picked one other road team to win. And normally there's one or two somewhere in there. Sometimes all the home teams win, all the favorites win, but I got to go with two road teams to win here, and this is going to be my second one, the Cardinals.
I've gone four road teams to win so far in the playoffs. Look, I just think with Matt Stafford being so unpredictable and the fact, too, that there's more pressure on him to win, not only because the Rams have pretty much gone all in, but because, look, they brought Matt Stafford in to win football games like this. This is the sole reason why he's here. Kyler Murray loses this game. Look, it's only his third year in the NFL. Matt Stafford has been in the NFL for 13 years now. Think about that. That makes me feel really old, the fact that Matt Stafford's been in the NFL for that long. One other question I would ask about the Cardinals. If retired today, would you put J.J. Watt in the Hall of Fame?
I think just because of the defensive player of the years he's won and how good he's been, he should probably go up there. But then some people might say, I don't know, what is – I'd have to look at J.J. Watt's career numbers real quick if I can pull that up. Because
if he wasn't so in, I'm just going to cut you off. I think for me, if he wasn't so injury prone, 100%. I don't know if he's a first ballot, but I could see him being like a second ballot or third ballot kind of guy.
Yeah, because I mean, that stretch he had from 2012 to 2015 is really good. I mean, 2 years in there, he had 20 and a half sacks, 17 and a half sacks. And then 10 and a half sacks in one of those years in between. But since then, 2016 with Texans, 1.5 sack, 2017, 0 sacks, 2018, he actually was able to play more and got 16 sacks, 2019, 4 sacks, 2020, 5 sacks, 2021, 1 sack. But all I got to say is a guy from the same class that plays the same position, I'd probably rather have him. Cam Jordan. I mean, this season he was kind of meh, but towards the end, he ended up having like 7.5, 8.5 sacks and got double-digit sacks on the year. And he's been very consistent over his career. Has he had like a 20-sack season? No. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's been just more of a consistent guy there. And he passed that 100-sack mark this season on his career, actually, for 107, where he actually passes J.J. Watt on his career because J.J. Watt's at 102 right now. But yeah, at the end of the day, just for how good J.J. Watt is, I'd probably have to put him in the Hall of Fame. Like you said, probably not first ballot or anything, but it'd probably take him a little while to get in, but he definitely would probably get in just based on how elite he was. Because there was times where he was doing it all. I mean, he'd go out there, he'd even catch a touchdown. He was the king of swatting balls at the line. Just all the sacks he would do, just how good he was would probably get him in there.
Yeah, that's a big thing, too. I think that the only thing that J.J. Watt has over Cam Jordan is obviously the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which Cam Jordan is nominated for this year. Mm-hmm. I feel like with the Saints now, it's just give it to – I nominate Henry Davis. I think those are the two options for that. That's another topic, though. But, yeah, I think he'll get in eventually. I just don't think it's a right-away thing with him. I think he'll be on the ballot for a couple of years. But with this game as a whole, look, when it comes down to it, I think that – The Cardinals are the same thing. It's a team you don't expect coming. They're laying in the weeds. They're just waiting for you. That's my big thing. That's why I'm going with the Cardinals. I think, look, the last time they played was a bit of an outlier. The last time they were in SoFi, Kyler Murray lit them up. I'm just going to point that out right now. Kyler Murray lit them up last time in SoFi. I think, too, and even remember last year, too, the Rams, like, if that's the big thing, like the Rams, it's just, I don't know what I was going to say with the Rams. I'm going to say another thing with the Cardinals. We need guys like Christian Kirk to step up and have a big game. You need, oh God, they need a tight end badly in Arizona. That's like, oh, like, never mind. They have Zach Ertz. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You need Zach Ertz. Excuse me. I forgot about that. I was going to say Max Williams for a second. You need Zach Ertz to have a career day. You need all these things to go your way and to be right. You know, that's the true big thing here with Arizona. If all can go right for Arizona, they're going to win this football game. But also, too, I think this could be a points fest game. I think I got to look up the phone again, on my phone again for the actual over-under. I know I said it. I just have to look it up again. Also, I really hope it doesn't die because I'm like riding on 1% right now. That's the thing. Which I feel like your phone lasts longer on 1% than it does for any other battery setting. So, yeah, it's 49.5. Give me the over on that. I'm going to put a score on this one. I'm going to put a little score bow on this, too. 31-28, game-winning field goal by the Cardinals. I think Kyler Murray leads them downfield and wins them the game.
Yeah, I could see that happening for sure. It's probably going to be hit the over. This is probably going to be another candidate for, along with the 49ers and Cowboys, for it to be that offensive sparking game. Cooper Kupp, he's had an amazing season. Like, that man's gone out there and done so many things. He came short of a few of those records that I'm sure he would like. Michael Thomas's record still stands, thankfully, which I thought he was going to break them just because the fact that there's an added game on and everything. But neither here nor there. Cooper Kupp's been amazing. If they had Robert Woods along with him and Odell, what would that offense be like? That would look insane, I'm sure. I think Cam Akers just came back. I'm uncertain if he actually played or not.
Barely did anything, I think, in that game. He didn't do much. I think it's Sony Michel's the main running back there right now.
Yeah, so it'll probably stay that way. Keep Sony Michel as the main guy there and just let Cam Akers kind of ease into it. But at the end of the day, I just believe in the Cardinals. I want it to happen. If I could say out there anything that I'd want to happen in this playoffs, it's the Rams losing wild card week to the Cardinals. That would just make my week. If you want to make it better, have the Eagles somehow beat the Bucks, but that'd be my perfect wild card weekend for me, since my Saints are not Saints are unfortunately not in the playoffs. But yeah, I'm really hoping for a Cardinals win.
You know what, that sounds perfect. I'm going to take us back into the more zoomed in look for the end of this podcast as we wrap things up here. Look, this was a fun episode. We got to record, we got to do our thing. Now more on StreamYard, more graphics. I'm gonna that's my big thing. I used the word professional earlier. I know you're wearing a golf shirt. I'm wearing an AEW Kenny Omega t-shirt. But the big thing with this podcast now, folks, is I know there's a lot of audio podcasts. There's going to be a lot more video going forward. That's the big thing I want to focus on, trying to get video going, getting video going. If the person can't do that, then it is what it is. But for the most part, we're going to do video here. A lot of exciting things to come and happen. But before we go, Matt, obviously everyone knows where to find your socials, but I want to ask you something because you've been a part of the Saints' full press coverage for the season. Is there anything planned for the offseason so far with Saints FPC or not at the moment?
We're still going to have some shows here and there. I don't know how frequent they'll be, but they'll be coming. And it's been very exciting to be over there covering the Saints, something I heavily enjoy doing and hope to do it for a good little while. In regards to this podcast, closing statements for this particular episode, since we're watching this during AEW, I have to make the stupid pun. The Rams are all in, but they're going to be all out of their playoff chances come Monday.
You know what? I completely agree with you. And I can't even believe I have to look this up right now, but what's it called? I have to like literally go on my phone. I do this before every episode. Oh, and my phone's dead. So this episode number 144 YWC Football Talk. It's been a blast getting the list. It's been a blast listening to this, blast doing this episode. I will say it was a blast listening to you talk. It was a blast getting to do this, especially during wrestling. Folks, enjoy Wild Card Weekend. If you're a fan of the team, just remember it's just a game. I have to do it to myself too, because the more and more you make it mentally taxing on yourself, it's not fun. It just takes away from it. So you know what, guys? Enjoy this weekend, no matter if your team is playing or if your team is eliminated. Just enjoy the weekend, because remember this, in a month, we're going to be begging for football. So enjoy the games while you can. That's going to wrap it up here for YWC Football Talk. Goodbye and good night.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.